Good morning, everyone. I hope you guys had a good time of sleep. You know, whenever you hear daylight savings, it sounds like, yeah, it's savings, daylight savings. And then they say you got to turn your clock forward, and then all of a sudden it's not as happy of an occasion as, originally thought. But hopefully you guys are well rested, and as we're here together today, you have hearts that are ready to receive the Word of God. What an awesome time to sing songs of praise and truth about God, and now to hear from the truth of God, the Word of God, the Bible that He gives to us, so that we can learn more about what it means to be in relationship with the one true God, but also, if not just as important, our relationship as believers of Jesus Christ, how we ought to relate to one another as well, within the church, with other brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to the world, to the people who still do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, believe it or not, we're coming to a close and to the end of Paul's letter to the church, to the believers in Philippi. And we'll have one more sermon from this letter from the Apostle Paul. But I hope that it's been just a really, I always say two things that I think that every Bible passage, well, obviously it should be gospel-centered, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It's either pointing to Christ forward or pointing to Christ in the present when He died on the cross and rose again in His ministry, but also later on pointing back to, again, that moment and that person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. I hope that we've been challenged and encouraged. In the same way that I pray that you'll be challenged and encouraged today through the message that we will see. And in today's passage that we'll look over together, the title of today's message is True Giving. True Giving. And we see that Paul will commend the Philippian believers in the Philippian church for being very generous in their support through their resources and through their giving to the ministry of Paul. And I hope that we too, as a church, will learn to have a generous heart of giving. That we will not be like the world that really says, hey, it's all about building up your own finances, your own resources, your own nest egg, or whatever they call it these days. But in the economy of God, He desires for us to have joyful hearts when we're able to give to the ministry, to those who are in need, ultimately reflecting the giving of our God who loves us so graciously. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. You can also look on the PowerPoint as it'll be up there as well. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 14 to 19. 14 to 19. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together again. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again so much for this time that You speak into our lives through Your Word. And God, You want every part of our lives. God, when we call You our King, when we call You our Lord, God, You want to see that lived out in obedience. So God, I pray that as a church and that as people of God, we would remember first who we are in You. And that as we look at how You have so loved us, and so that the way that You have given to us as Your people, God, may we reflect that kind of giving. even costly, sacrificial giving, may it be joyful for us to take part in your kingdom work through whatever resources, God, that you have blessed us with, given to us. May we learn to take part in your ministry. We thank you for this time. Be with me as I preach your word. Be with our congregation. Be with each heart and soul that is here that needs to hear your truth. And would you convict those of us who need some conviction today when it comes to giving? And would you challenge us? And maybe for those who do not really have much to give yet, I pray that as they think about the future, that you would be preparing their hearts, prioritizing giving to you, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, when we look around in the world, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of scandal and corruption. And sad to say, the church, in its history and even now, is not immune from this type of scandal and corruption. You know, we hear about pastors who step down, not only because of moral failure at times, but all, I mean, I guess still moral, but usually we think, okay, well, there's something, maybe some kind of sexual harassment or some kind of indecent acts in that way. But another area that oftentimes we find corruption and pastors who fail and leaders in the church who fail, it comes in the area of finances. Pastors, in a sense, stealing money from their own church to fill their own pockets for their own personal use rather than thinking of the ministry and how to expand God's kingdom. People who pervert the giving of people, the church, and use it somehow for their own glory. We also know that there's this false prosperity gospel that is still alive and well that really began in the United States that says if you give enough or pray enough or are faithful enough, that somehow that means that your bank account will be secured, that your health will be secured, that you will not run into physical disease and all these different things. And if you are in that kind of state right now, it's because you're not giving or believing enough. And that is not the real gospel. That is the false gospel. I remember being younger and being up late, and sometimes I don't even know if there's such thing as infomercials anymore because, you know, now people are streaming things and ads just kind of pop up in the middle of, you know, what you're watching. But long time ago, long time ago, at night, there used to be infomercials that came on. And some of these infomercials were televangelists. Now, I'm not saying all televangelists are bad, okay? That's not my purpose here. But I remember clearly this one guy in a really nice suit, and he looked very caring. He would come out in the, you know, he would show kind of a segment of him preaching on something, and then he'd come out with these little vials of water. And then a phone number would come up, and it would say, "Get your holy water now." Right now, if you pay, we'll give you an extra shipment for free. And this holy water was supposed to somehow help you with your health or keep evil things away if you were just kind of sprinkling some of it on you. And then, of course, if you're getting wet with this holy water, you need a holy handkerchief, right? And that's the next thing on the list. Hey, buy a holy handkerchief. You know, you can rub the areas where you're feeling sick or you know, feeling hurt, and you'll be better for it. And I remember seeing things like that, and it's just, there are people who use the name of God, who profess to be teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet there is corruption in their hearts. There's self-gain. It's for their own glory. It's for, you know, you see what I'm saying? And that is the absolute worst thing that the church can see, but also that the world can see. That someone who is supposed to represent God, and not just pastors, but us as people of God, people who are supposed to represent the God who loves and gives cheerfully, instead doing the opposite and coming up with various means and ways to take for self. We must not be like that. We must not be a people who are hoarding and building up for ourselves, and the more I have, the more secure I feel. No, the less of the things of this world, but the more of Jesus we have, I promise you, the more secure you will feel, and in reality, the more secure you will be. Now, I share these things because as a pastor, talking about finances and money and resources, a lot of times people get really uncomfortable. They say, oh, I've seen pastors before talk about money. And it's usually so that they can line their own pockets or because there's corruption in their hearts or whatever it might be. But no, I am here to talk to you about finances, yes, but more so the heart of how to give, true giving, because it is something that God calls us as his people to do. It is something that God desires for us, an area of our lives that he desires for us to grow in so that we will come to know his heart more. God, the ultimate giver who has given to us, again, Jesus Christ, his son, so that we could have a new life in him. So I pray that as a church, as people of God, both individually and as a community of believers, we will learn how to be joyful givers. And as we give, that we will see the resources that God has blessed us with becoming a blessing to the people around us, to those who are in need. That there will be fruit from the ministry, ministry supported by people who are giving joyfully to the Lord. So here's a few things that I want to talk about true giving. First thing is this: true giving is essential for ministry. True giving is essential for ministry. Let's look at verse 14 here. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Now we remember again that the Apostle Paul, in the context of writing this letter, he's imprisoned, and remember, he's awaiting a sentencing of a trial that could result in his possible death. Now he's in this trouble, a difficult situation, and in far more ways than one. And it's in the midst of this trouble that he takes time to commend the Philippian believers for their giving. You see, through their giving, it has encouraged Paul and even lifted some of his burdens because he knows that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are sharing in his trouble. Now, there's this reality that sometimes we think just sharing a word is enough. I really care about you. I really love you. And yet when we see a person walking cold in the streets, and we have like three layers on, how likely is it that we'd stop and give to that person one layer of our clothing so that they would feel a little warmer? You see, it's easy to say, I love you, but to actually follow up on it and obey God's command to love others, it's something that we need to ask God for, that kind of true giving heart. You see, the Philippian believers are sharing with Paul in his trouble by supporting him, even through sending of gifts and resources as he's in prison. As a people, let's not be hesitant to give of what we have when we see others in need. There's a very real blessing and encouragement that one feels when they are in need and they know that there are family members in Christ to share in that trouble with them. I think too many people feel alone and as if maybe there aren't people who really care about the things going on in their lives. Obviously, we know that God loves and that he cares. But as a church, let's share this kind of heart and show this kind of heart with those who are in need. Let's look at verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So Paul here is talking, as he goes on his missionary journey, he needs to have some support to help in the ministry as he travels. as he goes to different places. And so there's this connection between the giving of the Philippian church and Paul's actual ability to go out and preach the gospel as he has been called to do. He's saying, there wasn't anyone that supported my ministry at that time except for you, the fellow brothers and sisters in Philippi. And he's saying, I couldn't have done it without your support. Now, the sad thing is, even as we look at those who are called to be servants of God and preachers of the gospel today, there are pastors who look at ministry as some kind of career. And it's always, what's the next step to the bigger church or to more people? What's the ways that I can grow my career? And that's just such a horrible way to look at the calling. What I say is a calling, not a career in ministry. Because simply put, being a pastor is a privilege, and it's one that should only be taken up by people who actually have a calling from God to do so. I myself, as I think about myself in ministry, I praise God and thank God for his calling on my life to be a pastor. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, are you sure that I was the right guy? Did I hear you wrong? There's still so many ways which I have to grow and I have to mature and I want to go deeper into the Word and in my relationship with him. But I know without a doubt that he has called me to preach, to teach, to shepherd. And so as I'm here at our church in CCC, I'm thankful that there is a church that is supporting me in my ministry. Now, when I say my ministry, I'm not trying to say this is me, this is my time. But what I'm saying is my calling that God has given to me, that's why I'm here. It's not because I'm an employee of this church or because I receive my pay from this church. No, I believe that God has connected me with this church so that we can partner together in the ministry that God is doing both here in D.C. and around the world, through Missions Fund, through all the different things that we're involved with. Even without pay, if God called me to preach somewhere, I'm there. But to have this kind of support, it's a great blessing. It's essential to ministry. It's always through God, but through connection and partnership with people of God. And so I ask you, yes, I'm asking you, have you been giving to the church, to the ministry? It's a very simple, practical thing. Have you been supporting God's work in the ministry here at CCC? Now, offering is a part of the worship service, and that's intentional. You see, As the plate goes around, it's not about comparing who's putting in, who's not, but it's worship unto God. And it's essential to the ministry. And so I want to encourage you with a kind of attitude that says, Lord, my life and everything I have is yours. Your will be done. Learn to give to the church. And for those of you who aren't really making money yet, the youngins here, make a commitment even early on in your life. God, when I get older and I start to make some money, I want to make sure that I prioritize and that I'm giving. I'm giving because God has been so good to me. And that's going to be the second point. It's true giving comes from a generous heart. True giving comes from a generous heart. Now, someone could give a bazillion dollars. I don't know if that's an actual number. But someone could give a bazillion dollars, and someone could give $1. And if God looks at the heart of the bazillionaire giving away the money, and he sees someone who's just giving for the sake of giving because it's a good thing to do, or someone who's giving a dollar because they are so thankful to God and they've been touched by his grace, who do you think that he will look at and say, well done? The one with a heart that's centered on him. That's what God cares for, our hearts. What is our attitude as we give? Some people give so reluctantly. Maybe they're faithful givers, but, oh, okay, I got to give again. Duty. It's just a responsibility. But I hope and pray that we will give joyfully, when we give. And again, don't compare yourselves to other people. That's not what this is about. Don't say, well, I'm more generous than this person. No, none of that. It's you and God. Do you understand what He's done for you in your life? Be joyful and give, however much that might be, however little that might be, between you and God, to give with a generous heart. Look at verse 16 with me. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So there's this kind of continual partnership, continual giving from the Philippian church. Let's look to verse 18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So as we look at the Philippian believers in their giving, it is generous giving. Paul commends them not only for their giving, but for their heart of continual and generous giving. After sending help for his missionary needs earlier on in his ministry, the Philippian believers sent him help once again in his ministry, or in his ministry in Thessalonica. And then we see in verse 18, Paul's description that what he has received is more than even what he absolutely needed. He says that he's well supplied by the gifts and support that he has received. But again, he emphasizes that because they give with joyous and generous hearts, the gifts are acceptable, a pleasing sacrifice offering to God. See, it's the heart that's important. Yes, give, but always check your heart. What is your heart like when you give, whether it's your tithes or just your offerings? You know, no matter which way you look at it, there's always some way to figure out or justify why you can't give. So let's say with tithing, some people don't make a lot of money. And so they think to themselves, man, 10% of what little I make, that's going to be really hard to give. People who make a lot of money, they say, man, do you know how much 10% of what I make is? That's a lot to give. So you see, whether it's this side or that side, there's always some way, if your heart is not generous and joyful to give to the Lord and His ministry, that you'll find some way to say, no, I can't do that right now. But God desires a cheerful giver. And, you know, I'm not going to get into if it should be off your gross or your net pay. I think as long as with the right heart, I think that's the most important thing. But check that first. Do you give generously? Do you give joyfully? Think of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. Take a moment and you might say, well, what is Jesus dying on the cross for me and rising again from death? What does it have to do with my finances? Come on, Pastor Josh. Isn't that a bit of a stretch? No, because it's your whole life that is now His. And He's not asking you for His money or for your money because He needs you. Your $10, your $100, your $1,000. This is the God of the universe. His work is being done. He's all-powerful. Everything is in His hands. Is it because He needs you to give that He asks to give offering and tithes? No. It's because it's a blessing to us as we learn to be free. As we learn to let go of something that most of the world holds so tightly to. So be challenged. Have a generous heart. Look at the widow in Mark chapter 12, verse 44. What she gave was not significant in actual monetary value, but there was significance because there was a heart of giving to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26, we see another kind of offering as we see the woman who pours out her perfume as she breaks her alabaster jar at the feet of Jesus. You see, it was a costly giving because there was an experience with the love of God, the giving of His grace that just moved her to do this, what looks like a very impractical thing, an unwise thing in the eyes of the world, but her heart was just overflowing with gratitude to her Lord and Savior. Have you ever had that kind of heart that just wants to give because you're so joyful in what the Lord has done in your life, in your heart. It's such a challenge. But let's ask God to move our hearts in such a way. Let's ask God to prepare us to be cheerful and joyful givers. Lastly, point number three, God is the ultimate giver. God is the ultimate giver. In verse 17, it says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." Verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now again, we have to be careful of those who preach the prosperity gospel. If you give enough, then God will bless. If you give this much, God will secure. If you give this, okay, so we got to watch out for that. But the reality is there is a connection between those who have generous hearts and give to the Lord and their need, their every need being supplied. And I don't know about you, but more than any bank of any billionaire or Bezos or whoever you want to talk about, the riches in the glory in Christ Jesus, I want to bank on that, okay? And that is what will supply your every need if you are a child of his. In verse 19, we see that promise. Simply that every need we have will be taken care of according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Man, you know, I think even of my own life, I mean, I think there's always that kind of challenge. And one person that I think of when I think about giving is my mom. Now, I know some of you guys met her just briefly when she visited a couple weeks ago, but I still remember, you know, when it comes to giving to the Lord, she's someone that really challenges me and really has been a great example and a blessing unto me. So for those of you who don't know, my father passed away when he was actually quite young. He was 48 years old when he passed away. So I was 17, my older brother was 18, my younger brother was only 7 at the time. And my dad, being kind of the main income of our family, after he passed away, financially, things were pretty difficult. My mom was still working at the post office, but, you know, it wasn't the easiest of times financially. Now, I remember, even despite our financial difficulties, she would still tithe and go above and beyond that and give offering. And, you know, she was supporting 3 children through World Vision still. And, you know, she actually supported 1 child for each son that she had. So she had been doing 1 in my name and 1 in my brother Dan's name and 1 in my brother Paul's name. And I remember thinking, like, man, you know, we're not doing so hot here. Are you sure we're able to do this? You know, I didn't say that to her verbally, but I remember even as a 17-year-old thinking like that. And then I remember one day she came back after a long day of work with a big smile on her face, like something amazing had happened. And she was just looked so happy. And so I was like, "Oh my, like, you know, what's going on? You look really happy, you know, like." And I remember she shared, she said, as she was driving home from work, she was listening to the Christian radio. She was listening and, you know, being blessed by the music. And then they said, well, hey, they're looking for supporters, for monthly support so that the radio ministry can continue to bless people and touch lives and bring people to know the truth of God. And she shared that as she heard that, she felt so convicted in her heart that she just wanted to give. And so by the time she had come home, she had already been on the phone with them and pledging a monthly amount to this radio station, this Christian radio station. And now I did verbalize to my mom, I said, "Amma, can we do this right now? Like, are we actually able to do this? You know, we're not in the best financial shape right now." And this is what she said. And I was so, just so rebuked. She simply said, God has never stopped providing for whatever we need. God has never stopped providing for our needs as a family. And I look back to that time, that difficult time, and you know what? You're right. She was right. God had never stopped providing for our family in every need. I don't think that I ever felt like things were out of control because God had us in His hands. You see, He was supplying our every need through the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I really believe there's a connection that it's because it's part of that joyful giving that she had as a child of God. And I'm still trying to learn from that. I'm trying to be the best example and model of that. It's not easy, but as I think about my mom and how rebuked I felt as she said that simple truth, man, it was a challenge. I hope that's challenging to us here. Maybe some of us are going through financial trouble. Maybe some of us are doing very well financially and, you know, we have a giant nest egg. Is that what even what it's called? It's your retirement? Is that your nest egg? Yes, okay, some people are nodding. Okay. But no matter what your situation might be, that ought not to determine if your heart is joyful in giving. Because the one truth remains that who God is the same God who has given you Christ Jesus, whether you have nothing, whether you have a ton. Still, God calls us to have hearts that understand that the ultimate giver who has given us the absolute necessity that we need for our hearts and for our lives, His own Son, Jesus Christ. God come into the world, the Word become flesh, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. You know, I remember I saw a t-shirt and it was an older, like a Korean church lady from way back when I was younger, and she would always wear this shirt, and it said on the front, you know, I work for the Lord. And then on the back, it said, the pay isn't much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. And, you know, I'm all for puns and things like that, so, I mean, that's just like, oh, psh, that's so good, right? But when we think about that, right? I mean, what's been secured for us for eternity? Heaven, presence of God forever, enjoying His presence with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, and we're here so worried. Now, when there's need, there's need. I understand that, but let's have hearts that learn to give generously and trust in God as the ultimate giver, no matter what circumstance we may be in. Amen? And that's over every area of your life. But God, He doesn't shy away from talking about some of these things. He doesn't shy away from telling us, especially different areas that maybe the world has taught us that we need to just hold tight and build and grow. And God says it's when you learn to let go of those kind of things that you can grow more richly in Him. It doesn't mean that if you start giving to the church, all of a sudden all of your financial matters are taken care of or anything like that. But it means that you're going to grow to understand that God is already taking care of your every need as a child of His. It means that you're going to grow in the love of God and understanding His generous heart to you and me. So let's remember these things. True giving is essential to ministry. Take part in giving so that the ministry of God can continue to take place both in our church and in missions overseas, whatever it might be. Give of your tithes and offerings, not because it's a duty or because a pastor has told you to do so or because you feel guilty if you don't. Even if you don't give while the plate is going around, there's an offering box out back if you need to just if you want to do it in private because that's your heart. You don't want to compare and look around. And if you are giving when the plate goes around, check your heart. Don't be looking around and be like, oh, that person put in this much, or oh, that person didn't put anything at all. Have a heart that's right before God. Have a generous heart. That means it's between you and God. Give as he calls you and leads you to give. But all these things wrapped around the truth that God is the ultimate giver. We cannot forget this truth of who God is. He is the one who has given us, yes, the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He supplies our every need. And not just for us as individuals, but as a church. As I look into the history of our church here at CCC, I know I'm now 6 months young here. But the 83 years that this church has been here, God has been the ultimate giver. And he has provided for our church in ways that we probably cannot understand. But we're here now. Let's continue to be a part of our church, growing together in him. Let's give joyfully. Let's trust in God as the ultimate giver. Let's pray together. I just want to take one moment to ask everyone here to bow their heads in prayer. And I want to ask you to be honest, and I'm going to do the same. Be honest about your heart. Have you been generous in your heart when it comes to giving to the Lord? Now, I don't know everyone's circumstances, financial or life circumstances, what you may be going through, hardships or trials. But God cares for you and he knows your every need. And it says right here in his word, and he will never go against his word or his promise. He says, I will supply your every need in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you trust that for every area of your life? If you know and God's convicting you that maybe your heart is just a little too, I don't want to use the word stingy, but yeah, stingy when it comes to giving. Even to God. Maybe he's convicting your heart right now, and God wants you to let go of that kind of hoarding mentality and to flip it through the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can give and be a blessing to those around you. You know, I think that that's what Paul is saying. He's like, not that I need the gift, but man, how blessed you're going to be when you see the fruit of what you've given, making an impact and a change in the people of God and in those who do not yet know him. So pray, God, help me to be a joyful giver. Pray, God, help me to support the ministry of this church. And many of you support through your time and serving, and praise God for that. But depend on him in every area, and he will strengthen you, and he will supply your every need in Christ Jesus. So just take a moment to pray. I'm going to pray myself. God, help me to be a joyful giver. Help me to remember always that you are the ultimate giver. Let me not hold on to and build up my own, but yes, be responsible, but I want to learn to give freely and joyfully as you have given your son Jesus Christ to us, to me. So let's pray just for a minute, and then I'll close this in prayer. Father, I just pray for our church. I thank you, God, for the many who are already joyful and generous givers. Would you bless them and their families mightily? And maybe for those of us who are still learning to give, or maybe we admit that we're not really joyful givers, and God, we thank you that your grace covers over each of us, that you don't force us to do anything, but that you lovingly wait on us as you pursue us with your word and your kindness so that we might be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you change those of us who need changing? that the complaining and stingy hearts would disappear and melt away at the truth of knowing Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us to learn what true giving really is from the ultimate giver, God, yourself, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now go